Harihi Om Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahabiryan Karavavahai Tejasvinavati Tamastoma Vidivishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jayasi Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Page 12, Sutra 2-3. Okay. Another doubt is raised. This sutra explains the argument of the Purva Paksha. Gaunya sambhavach chabdach cha. Gauni, figure of speech, asambhavat, because of being impossible. Shabda, shabdat, because of scripture, cha, also. Ether is not created because the meaning is figurative only, and because there is a statement in the text saying ether is eternal. Sutra Prakashika. The opponent's argument that ether is eternal, since all space is all-pervading and formless. Right? Because though they're taking, Brahman has that quality, therefore this has that quality, it is therefore eternal.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Does that make sense? Yes. You know, it's just...
Yes. Come on.
Yeah. You know, it's like, what do you call it? The Ferrari is red, my apple is red, my apple is a Ferrari. Like that, you know. So, you know, it seems quite straightforward and logical, right?
Yeah. It's encouraging.
Yes, yes. So many possibilities, right? You know. Shugavindavasya, Purva Paksha. It is not possible to imagine that ether is created. As sages like Gotama have shown, just as people in a crowd make statements like, make space, that are figurative. Similarly, make space, yes. South India, they have a saying that the crowd is so tight that not even a sesame seed can get between people.
We say needle.
Hmm?
We say needle.
We say needle.
Needle. Yeah. But actually a needle would make space. If you pull out a needle, people will move. If you take a handful of sesame seeds, throw them up, nobody cares. Yeah. I think in Bengal they say mustard seeds.
Whatever is important to everyone.
Yeah, whatever is important, and that's what it says. Yeah. 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 I guess the brahmacharis. So many people can't even get a bucket of challah between them. Right? Yeah. No?
Sweet rice.
Sweet rice, okay. Okay. Similarly, the Shruti statements about creation of ether are also figurative. Why? Because it is not possible to create ether as space, since it is all-pervading and without form. Right? Because they're taking, therefore it can't be produced. And because Shruti says that ether is without any ingredient or cause, without any ingredient for a cause. Vayus Chantariksham Chaitad Amritam. Air and ether are eternal. Brihad Aranyak Upanishad. Therefore, one should consider that ether does not have a creation. Srimad Bhagavatam verse reference. My dear Lord, by expanding your transcendental vibrations, you reveal the actual meaning of everything. You are the all-pervading sky within and without. And you are the ultimate goal of pious activities executed both within this material world and beyond it. I therefore offer my respectful obeisances again and again unto you. Srila Prabhupada comments. Vedic evidence is called Shabda Brahman, Shabda Brahma. There are many things which are beyond the perception of our imperfect senses, yet the authoritative evidence of sound vibration is perfect. The Vedas are known as Shabda Brahma because evidence taken from the Vedas constitutes the ultimate understanding. This is because Shabda Brahma, or the Vedas, represents the Supreme Personality of Godhead. However, the real essence of Shabda Brahma is the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra. By vibrating this transcendental sound, the meaning of everything, both material and spiritual, is revealed. This Hare Krishna is not different from the personality of Godhead. The meaning of everything is received through the air, through sound vibration. The vibration may be material or spiritual, but without sound vibration, no one can understand the meaning of anything. In the Vedas, it is said, Antar bahischa tat sarvam, vyaya narayanastikaha. Narayan is all-pervading. He exists both within and without. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 13:34. Yata prakash shayat yeka kritsnam loka idam ravihi. Kshetram kshetri tata kritsnam prakashyati bharata. So, prakashayati. O son of Bharata, as the sun alone illuminates all this universe, so do the living entity and the supersoul illuminate the entire body by consciousness. In other words, the consciousness of both the soul and supersoul is all-pervading. The limited consciousness of the living entity is pervading the entire material body, and the supreme consciousness of the Lord is pervading the entire universe. Because the soul is present within the body, consciousness pervades the entire body. Similarly, because the Supreme Soul, or Krishna, is present within the universe, everything is working in order. Vayad yakshena prakriti suyate sacharata charam. This material nature is working under my direction, O son of Kunti, and is producing all moving and unmoving beings. Bhagavad Gita 9:10. Lord Shiva is therefore praying to the Supreme Personality of Godhead to be kind to us, so that simply by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, we can understand everything in both the material and spiritual worlds. The word Amushmai is significant in this regard because it indicates the best target one can aim for after attaining the higher planetary systems. Those who are engaged in fruitive activities, karmis, attain the higher planetary systems as a result of their past activities. And the jnanis who seek unification or a monistic merging with the effulgence of the Supreme Lord also attain their desired end, but in the ultimate issue, the devotees who desire to personally associate with the Lord are promoted to the Vaikuntha Lokas, or Goloka Vrindavan. The Lord is described in Bhagavad Gita 10:12 as Pavitram Paramam, the Supreme Pure. This is also confirmed in this verse. Sukadeva Goswami stated that the cowherd boys who played with Krishna were not ordinary living entities. Only after accumulating many pious activities in various births does one get the opportunity to personally associate with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, since only the pure can reach Him. He is the Supreme Pure. Yeah, so we see as we're coming up with that aspect is that all-pervading is used also for the soul, right? But that means all-pervading in the body. So then it's also in that context. So they're taking it that the saying that they're created, that's the figurative, but the all-pervading aspect, and that's the actual point. What we see here is it's actually the other way around. It's created, but the point is the first point was that everything that is there, sound, Krishna is ether, he is the air, because that's through which sound vibration goes. That's why everything functions, because of the sound vibration. So that's Krishna, you know. Just like before, it said in the words, the names of Brahman, those are the primary meaning, and then they have also secondary meanings in which they can be used in the local, you know, context, right? So then here, then that eternal aspect is Krishna, but the elements themselves, then that would be figurative. Right, because in the context of it pervades the whole universe, pervades the body, you know, as long as the universe is there, it goes. Mm-hmm. You know, so when you're speaking from Swarga, then Amrita means deathless. Mm-hmm. You know, but we know that they die. You know, it's just they live a lot longer. Yes. You know, it's just like people say, you know, what is it? BFF, right? Mm. Best friends forever. But it just means as long as this body is there, right? You know, so there's a feeling. So they mix in their feelings along with the, you know, the description. Sutta 2, 3, 4.
Desire is also a sound vibration.
Is desire a sound vibration? Why does desire have to be a sound vibration?
One devotee is explaining that gross sound is there and subtle sound is there. So he was, still in the desire also he was counting as sound vibration.
Desire, sound vibration. How about lunch? Is that sound vibration?
Yes,
sir. Lunch. You seem to have selective hearing.
It's supposed to be breakfast.
Oh, yeah. Why think about lunch when breakfast is the next one? Good point. Sorry. What about breakfast? Is it a sound vibration? Yeah, if you talk to the, you know, quantum physicist, everything, the atoms are all just vibrating. Everything's just vibration. Right? So as long as your hand is vibrating at the same frequency as the breakfast, then it works out. You know, also you want your teeth to vibrate there, because if they don't, then you might rattle the teeth out of your head. You know, stuff like that. You know, so that when people eat something, right, and somebody, they like it, that's because all the vibrations are the same, and if they don't like it, because the vibration's not, so it throws them off. Or... No? How will all this help you? How does it help you if desire is a vibration or not?
They were explaining the creation, the previous quote of Prabhupada, that material creation begins by sound vibration.
So it actually begins by a glance.
That is Mahavishnu's glancing. But before that, the living entity in spiritual world, they were telling that he has desire. So desire is there is sound.
No, but I'm saying, what's the point of connecting it to sound, even if you could? What will you get from that?
They're trying to prove what Prabhupada is telling.
But what is Prabhupada telling?
Because material creation began with sound and can be unwound by sound. So because of material sound, you came here. Was a pure sound.
So does that have to be, does the desire have to be a sound? You know what I'm saying? What level of sound are we working with here? Right? Because we saw it before. We have all these levels.
You were explaining that desire to control and enjoy. That is.
Yes, but what level of sound are we talking? Because what comes out is the voice. That's not the desire. That's expressed desire.
Yes.
But before that, it's not expressed. Right? It's just felt. And so those ones you don't call as your regular sound. So why even bother like that? The principle that they're saying is that by discussing material subject matter, you become bound by the material world. And by discussing spiritual, you become freed. That's good, but why do we have to take it that make it that desire is sound? Why not just sound is sound? Why the desire has to be the sound? You know what I'm saying? Otherwise, you desire a shoe. Now, is the shoe sound or something? No? Depends if it's wood or not. Or no? Okay.
You have these squeaky shoes that babies
wear. Yeah, those also are sound. Yeah, those ones also. That one's a good one. Yeah? Yeah, so it's not that it's there, but why stretch it? If they're bringing out the point, it's only for chant. Don't, you know, talk nonsense. You understand? But if we get into this and that one sticks of all the mechanics of the universe, then we can understand it might not be well applied. Because the mind sticks to things that aren't. You know what I'm saying? Unless it's, you're able to use it really nice in your life, you know, then it's a revelation. You know, because actually, I say, nididhyasana means absorption in the Lord, fixed in the Lord, in devotional service. It doesn't actually mean fixed in anything else. means you can apply it that way, but you'll get a material result. So when it's you're fixed in the Lord, so you contemplate the Lord, you hear about the Lord, then it works. But our purpose is to get fixed. You know, so does that mean to get rid of desire, you have to get rid of sound or something? Or
vibrating pure sound.
Okay. Yeah, but that changes desire. So now it's sound against sound, like fire against fire or something? Or, you know what I'm saying? I don't understand the purpose of taking it to that technical point. Because did they explain all the levels of sound?
Yeah, they were telling intelligence, mind, and then subtleness and the desire like that.
No, that's what's above sound.
They were saying that some incident happened in the demigods because of which previously people could hear even the desires of others. But after that incident, it was like 3/4 of the sound was like not allowed. Only the gross sound which comes out, that is only allowed to hear. Other, like, sound at the intelligence, sound at mind, sound at consciousness level, that desire. That's what was his explanation. That we can't hear. So, some fight with the demigods, Vayu and something, I don't remember. So, previously people could hear the desires of those others.
Then what's the benefit of that? I'm saying, why is that a good thing? Why bring that up?
I'm just trying to confirm that it's correct or not, because this purports of Prabhupada, the previous purport.
But anybody here sees that unless we accept the points that are made, it's not proven, it's going, then Prabhupada's purports aren't proven? Does anyone see like that? No. So what I'm saying is they're taking a technical point and going, but I'm not sure that it's important, because the point is Krishna is everything. So the point is you hear and chant about Krishna, then through the sound, then you're going to elevate the consciousness. Because here they haven't shown how sound does that. You're saying that this proves or not, but where is the proof that sound is the working principle? Right? So what's the difference between material sound and spiritual sound? Same tongue, same teeth, same syllables, same, you know, breath. So what changes it from one to the other?
Connection to Krishna.
Connection to Krishna. That's the discussion, the 87th chapter in the 10th canto, is this point. So it's when it's connected to the chit potency, means through parampara, that's where it has. Otherwise, sahajiyas are also chanting Hare Krishna, but they're not getting any spiritual benefit. You know, Prabhupada mentioned maybe their bile gets moving, they digest lunch and get hungry, but spiritual, no. You understand? So the sound is important, but it's also the kind of sound. It has to be invested with the chit potency. You know what I'm saying? Because otherwise we're taking it that technical points are made, therefore it must be correct. But the point is its connection to Krishna, that's what makes it correct. You understand? That's the point to take. You know? And that, you know, desires have to be sound. You know, that the point is desire is a function of the mind. I'm the controlling enjoyer is a function of the ego. Right? So if we want to be that technical that we're breaking down sound into four parts, why would we neglect such a obvious difference? You know what I'm saying? Technical is good, but why say that without this technical process, purports aren't proven? You know what I'm saying? Because that Vaikarya in that was explained before, not in connection with this. He's pointing out here, the point to learn is, Krishna's pervading everything. He is what makes everything work. Therefore, when it says sound or ether, it means Krishna. Right? So if we're seeing in that light, of course it has the spiritual. And if we're not seeing, then it has the material.
Okay.
that? Yeah. Does that make sense? Yeah, because it's not that we need these stories and these points to prove it. They can be additional stuff to add in different angles. That's called vichar. But we can't say it's not proven without this point. Hmm? So, Sutta 2.3.4. An objection is presented to the opponent's argument. However, if the passages from the Taittiriya Upanishad use the word Sambhuta, created, only once to refer to the list of elements beginning with fire, how is it possible to claim that this word is used literally for all the elements and figuratively for ether alone? Right? Otherwise it would be specified. The opponent replies in the following sutra. Syach chaikasya brahma shabdavat. Syat, maybe, cha, and, ekasya, of one, brahma, brahma. Shabda, the word, vat, like. Words can have a figurative meaning as well as a literal meaning in one passage. Just as the word Brahman has literal and figurative meanings in a passage in Taittiriya Upanishad. Sutta Prakashita. Opponents cite Shastra to uphold their point. Shigovindabhasya, Purva Paksha. Take the phrase tapasa brahma vijigyasasva tapo brahma. Try to know Brahman by austerity. Austerity is Brahman. Taittiriya Upanishad 3.2.1. In this statement, ekasya, the word Brahman is taken in the second part, figuratively, to mean a method for understanding Brahman, and the first part, literally, to mean Brahman. The same can be said of the word produced. Since Chandogya Upanishad does not mention creation of ether, other statements, for instance, in Taittiriya Upanishad, concerning ether's creation, are negated. Footnote 6. Srila Jiva Goswami, referencing the current sutra, explains that the uses of figurative and literal meaning of a word depends on its descriptive context. Some of the gopis, however, could not manage to get out of their houses, and instead they remained home with eyes closed, meditating upon him in pure love. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.29.9. For those gopis who could not go to see Krishna, intolerable separation from the beloved caused an intense agony that burned away the pain of temporary separation. By meditating upon him, they realized his embrace and experienced the bliss of a sudden internal realization of meeting him. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.29.10. The first verse is clear in meaning. These gopis had misfortune, ashubha, in the form of obstacles to attain Krishna, such as fear of elders. They became auspicious by attaining Krishna, mangalam, through thinking of their friendship with him. However, na karma bandhanam, janma vaishnavanam cha vidyate. Vaishnavas do not have bondage of karma or material birth. Padma Purana 6.229.58. Words like inauspicious and auspicious, denoting material karma, are also seen elsewhere in impossible contexts. Vatsyat yurasi me bhutir bhavat pada hatam hasa. Lakshmi will consent to reside on my chest because your foot has rid my chest of sins. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.89.11. One should therefore seek another meaning of the Lord's words. Similarly, regarding these gopis, another meaning must be found, as explained above. Brigat had doubts about the phrase gunamaya deham jahu. They gave up material bodies. O sage, the gopis knew Krishna only as their lover, not as the supreme Brahman, with no qualities. So how could these girls, their mind absorbed in qualities, give up their qualities and take another body? O sage, they knew Krishna as their lover only, Param, not as Brahman. Didn't we just read this?
This is the explanation that he's giving. This was the Bhagavatam.
Oh, okay. How could they give up the influence of the material gunas? If one has concentrated on Brahman, the person will give up the influence of the material gunas, since the person would acquire the quality of nirguna by his meditation. However, when they meditated on him as their lover, with the manifestations of qualities surpassing material qualities, by absorption in those qualities, how could they give up those qualities, since those qualities were related to the highest goal? Or did they not attain liberation, the highest goal? By mentioning that they did not see him as Brahman, which is free of suffering, it is indicated that their consciousness was absorbed in his qualities, such as his supreme beauty, while rejecting fixation in Brahman, guna dhyam. Because it is difficult to understand, it can be explained by an example. Shishupal and Dantabhakara were Jaya and Vijay. How could the two with spiritual forms develop material bodies? Padma Purana explains. Thus, Jaya and Vijay, on the pretext of the curse of the Kumaras, appeared in the material world for the Lord's pastimes. By the will of the Lord, which makes the impossible possible, they took three births in material bodies made of the gunas. For his actions like fighting and playing, in order to attract the minds of the devotees, though they had possessed spiritual bodies with all siddhis. Right, so it's by the Lord's arrangement that this goes on.
The bodies can be both ways.
Yes, just depends on the context what it is here. It's just that, you can say, one may say, well then therefore then they have a stand, it could be taking both ways. But you have to see it in the context of what does the Vaishnav Siddhanta say. Right? What is the definition of the soul? Chitta, Chitteshwar, all these things. So you see is that it's often what they're talking about. So then why should we take this as correct? Right? Now if it's contradictory to what we're saying, why would we take that? It's not that everything they say is correct, and then this is the one point of contention. So... Thus, by the will of Krishna alone, these gopis, when blocked from meeting Krishna, were able to meet him in their spiritual bodies. The cowherd men, bewildered by Krishna's yoga maya, thought their wives had remained home at their sides. They did not harbor any jealous feelings against him at any time. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:33-37. Right? So, in their spiritual bodies, they were interacting. So that's the whole thing, is it mentions that theirs, they thought they had remained home at their side. So as far as they were, their wife was there.
Yes.
So they went in their spiritual bodies. So, so we're dealing with something different here.
Yes.
Right? Like that. So when they say they gave up their body, they gave up any identification with the mundane, and only in their spiritual form they served Krishna.
Yes.
So in that form then they had.
Yes.
But even they were going, they don't perceive any obstacles, right? Still, they're going in their spiritual form, and their material form staying at home.
Yes.
So-called material, but whatever.
Yes. Like that, everybody is happy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, everybody's happy. Yeah.
So they gave up their body, doesn't mean they died, which is how I usually talk.
No, because then how would that be auspicious? Because this is the night of the Rasa dance. We may say, yes, but dying and going back to Godhead. No, it's an auspicious occasion, so nobody died. Just they gave up that any trace of material identity that was there. And so then they took on that spiritual. So in that way you could say, yes, the leftovers from the material world, that died. But, still. Entering into a material body was a temporary event. Thus the phrase Jahur Gunamayam Deham, they gave up material bodies, cannot indicate their real bodies, because then the description would be rendered meaningless. How are such pastimes beneficial for the people? By understanding Krishna in any way, this benefit occurs. Persons who constantly direct their lust, anger, fear, protective affection, and feelings of impersonal oneness or friendship towards the Lord are sure to attain realization of Him. Right? Because the point is this, being connected to him, that works. And then from any of these positions, if that's constant, then you will realize the Lord. Right? So the point is it's that connection to the Lord that's important, not the technical points that we're doing. We have processes that are recommended by the acharyas and assisting them in the, you know, in their Samkirtan pastimes. We take part in those. But the point is the absorption in Krishna is the essential element. Otherwise, then we'll start to think it's the secondary points. Like before, very subtle. It's the sound that's causing it. No, it's that one's not thinking of Krishna. Right? You don't think of Krishna, then that brings you into the material consciousness. You understand? So the point is that ultimately there's only the spiritual, the internal meanings, you know, to these things. Because those in the spiritual world, that is the reality. That's solid. Right? Well, here, it kind of gets kind of gross to get solid. Right? It's dead matter. But there, is, the soul is Satchidananda. You know, you don't have these other little things. Does that make sense? So, the point is that full absorption in Krishna, that's what made it work. So that would mean then these gopis weren't fully absorbed before. That's why there's obstacles. By that, they became fully absorbed. Right? So, it's the quality of your absorption in Krishna that makes the quality of what the service is. Right? We'll take it, no, by the quality of the material knowledge, its expert, implementation, and the particular high quality of external results, that shows the quality of our bhakti. Means if all your functioning is on the external platform, yes, it does. Right? Does that make sense? Someone's very good at something, and he tries to do it very nicely for Krishna, but he's only absorbed in the activity itself and that knowledge. But that nice, sincere focus and getting a good result for Krishna, that is the symptom of. But in actuality, it's that trying to do it for Krishna that makes it worthwhile. You understand? Because otherwise they use the same focus and same knowledge, but not for Krishna, it doesn't give a spiritual result. You understand? So it's the connection to Krishna. So then it comes down as how much one is absorbed in Krishna, how much it's for Krishna. That's where the point of, is it karma misra, is it jnana misra, is it shuddha bhakti? Because then it's about, not about the quality of the work, it's about the quality of the consciousness. You understand? So the context, then you can see the difference.
And Maharaj, how can we can say, I already asked you, but evaluate our consciousness?
It means by thinking about it. Bhaktivinoda Thakura recommends that we regularly think about, you know, the consciousness and all these kind of aspects, our motives, our, you know, where we fit into the process, you know, how we're situated, how to improve. So you recommend, one is it should be just an ongoing thing, like we saw with the Avantipur Brahman.
Yes.
It's something, he's always singing that song, that's his song, right? That's his jam, right? So that's always going on. But we see is that he mentions at least, let's say, like on Ekadasi, every Ekadasi. You want to start then every Ekadasi, then you contemplate, since, you know, there's no lunch anyway. And so then you can sit there and contemplate, you know, something worthwhile rather than just, I'm hungry. Right? Does that make sense? Yes.
Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he mentions that Smaranam starts at once a day, you remember Krishna.
Okay.
That's the minimum requirement.
So then Bhaktivinoda Thakur is being very generous. Because right? Vishwanath generally gives a very, you know, it's standard. We could say that's very standard. Once a day.
Yeah, you remember Krishna, you're good.
Okay, once in a day, then you're okay. It'll get you through to the next day. You'll still be Krishna conscious the next day. You know, you won't wake up as a cockroach or something. Yeah? Yeah, it's a good thing, though. No? Yeah. So. Tanmayatam means being deeply absorbed in Krishna. Lust, affection, and friendliness. Well, there's also a difference there. That's remembering Krishna, but this other is contemplating how much you're developed. So I guess that would be a difference. So yeah, if you remember at least once a day, you connect it, and then we see is then the ideas that make it 24 hours. But at least you start with once a day.
Okay. After we can think.
Yeah, so there's, yeah, and then we can think. Yeah, otherwise, what, who's going to think? Tanmayatam means being deeply absorbed in Krishna. Lust, affection, and friendliness end in attraction to Him. Just as a low-class man may develop attraction for a woman through absorption in her. However, anger, fear, and impersonal oneness generally produce merging into the Lord, like milk merging into water. Now, you're talking about the Lord, then you merge in. So then, you know, so now the question comes up, who's the water? The one word tanmayatam in this case can have different meanings because of the descriptive context. Syach chaikasya brahma shabdavat. Words can have a figurative meaning as well as a literal meaning in one passage, as with the word Brahman in Taittiriya Upanishad, Brahma Sutra 2.3.4. Anger and fear are included in order to teach the power of thinking of the Lord. By using Kaimutya, it is not surprising that the Kama and the Gopis made them successful by making it follow after Krishna. Why be astonished? You should not be so astonished, since he is Bhagavan. Unborn, the unborn master of all masters of mystic power, endowed with the complete manifestation of qualities, and thus liberates such persons from this world. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.29.16. It is not surprising that the Lord can do for the gopis, since the Lord liberates persons endowed with hatred. Some of the gopis, by perfection of worship during the prakata pastimes, were new persons. Unlike the nitya siddhas, they attained Satchidananda bodies. Thus they had no fault, so the wise describe it. Krishna Sandarbha Anucheda 145. So the nitya siddha gopis, they already are in their spiritual form. But the other ones are within the material form that takes on the spiritual.
Yes.
Right? So you don't have to see necessarily a change in the form. It's just that then it takes on, it gives up these qualities. Because spiritual means it's completely spiritual. So even if there's a fragrance of the material, that's the level of material we're talking about.
Yes.
You know? Yes. Does that make sense? Yes. So giving that up, like Lord Brahma gave up that body.
Yes.
So that then technically, even if you attain your Swarup, still can be...
That's why there's Swarup Siddhi comes later. The Sahajiyas like to move it up just by hearing about it at Swarup Siddhi. No, that may be Swarup. You may have your form, but until you get to that point, like these gopis, where they're totally absorbed in Krishna, right? It becomes exclusive. Only that time, now, your form, now you can interact with Krishna, because you can't interact on the material platform. Right? So then it's fully spiritual, so now that point is Swarup Siddhi. So Apanadas technically is Swarup Siddhi. Right? That fourth stage. Well, they'll try to take it as the... They take the second stage, make it the first stage, and then try to say that's Swarup Siddhi. So it's just cheating. And Vastu Siddhi means now that's the only form, that is your form, meaning that you won't deviate from that. You'll always be absorbed in prema. So that's Vastu Siddhi. Does that make sense? Yeah. So it's like Vedanta Sutra, then Rasa. Yeah. Yeah, for the Acharyas, they don't have any problem because it's all good. Same. Yeah. Bhagavatam verse reference. Srimad Bhagavatam 4.24.60. My Lord, the impersonal Brahman spreads everywhere, like the sunshine or the sky. That impersonal Brahman which spreads throughout the universe and in which the entire universe is manifest is you. Footnote 7. Srila Prabhupada comments. In Vedic literatures, it said that everything is Brahman and nothing else. The whole cosmic manifestation rests on the Brahman effulgence. The impersonalist, however, cannot understand how such a huge cosmic manifestation can rest on a person. Thus, this inconceivable power of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is not understood by the impersonalists. Therefore, they are puzzled in always denying that the absolute truth is a person. This wrong impression is cleared by Lord Shiva himself, who says that the impersonal Brahman, which is spread all over the universe, is nothing but the Supreme Lord himself. Here it is clearly said that the Lord is spread everywhere, just like the sunshine, by virtue of his Brahman feature. This example is very easy to understand. All the planetary systems are resting upon the sunshine, yet the sunshine and the source of sunshine are aloof from the planetary manifestations. Similarly, the sky or air is spread everywhere. Air is within a pot, but it also touches filthy places and sanctifies places alike. In any case, the sky is actually produced by the sun. I was going to say, wow, now we got a new one here. In any case, the sky is actually produced by the sun, whereas impious things are described as the back of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Well, it's like the university thing where you read every third word, you know, it's like, yes. Yeah, so. Okay. In any case, the sky is not contaminated. The sunshine also touches filthy places and sanctified places, and both are actually produced by the sun. But in any case, the sun is aloof from all filthy things. Similarly, the Lord exists everywhere. There are pious things and impious things. But in the Shastras, the pious things are described as the front of the Supreme Lord, whereas the impious things are described as the back of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Right? So they're all Krishna. It's just whether it's the front or the back. So we see when we describe in the Bhagavatam, it's all the front, not the back. Bhagavad Gita 9:4, the Lord clearly says, Maya tatam idam sarvam jagat avyaktina murtina matstani sarvabhutani nachaham teshvavastitaha. By me, in my unmanifested form, this entire universe is pervaded. All beings are in me, but I am not in them. That means he is a person. It's his Brahman effulgence that's spreading everything, and everything's resting on that. But the point is, that's the effulgence of the person. So everything's resting on the Brahman, and Brahman's resting on Krishna. So everything's resting on Krishna. Right? So that way he is everything. He's conscious of everything. At the same time, he's aloof. And he carries on his pastimes, despite what we're doing. Right? We're having, you know, how you say, a meltdown or something. It doesn't matter. Krishna's pastimes still go on. Right? Any sense?
Different pastime.
Yeah, so, yeah, different pastime like that. This verse of Bhagavad Gita explains that the Lord is spread everywhere by virtue of his Brahman feature. Okay. Everything rests in him. Yet he is not there. The conclusion is that without bhakti yoga, without rendering service to the Lord, even the impersonalist cannot understand the Brahma tattva, the Brahman feature. So this is what's important, is that these contexts, like we're saying, you know, before, is that the figurative and the literal, what's being applied where, that we depend upon the acharyas, because only they will know. Krishna knows, they know, and then by association, then we will know. But if we think that our intelligence will show us what it is, no, that won't work. You know, maybe umpapa, the intelligence will work, but not in this. Does that make sense? Yeah?
Even if we try.
Yeah, even if we try, it won't work. Because that's the point. If these impersonalists, who are so intelligent, right, so renowned, so detached, all these different things, if they can't understand, then why would we understand? Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. In other words, they don't even worry about breakfast. Right? Well, we do. You know, it's just like, okay, class is 6:30 to 9. Now, okay, the 6:30 is okay, but the 9, okay, but then, you know, what about this? And that? Once we've worked out breakfast, then it's okay. Then we can come. But if we don't work out breakfast, then I'm sorry. you know.
It's another service.
Yeah, yeah. No, if I wait that late, by the time I get there, all the samosas will be gone. So, yeah.
Fast breaking is in between then?
Fast breaking is in between. You have 15 minutes, you do whatever you want. You get out your tiffin, set it all down. Yeah, go for it.
Can we break that one? Can we break that one?
Yeah, soon. Yes, but just to finish a few more sentences. The conclusion is that with bhakti yoga, without rendering devotional service to the Lord, even an impersonalist cannot understand the Brahma Tattva, the Brahman teacher. And that's all they're absorbed in is Brahman. In the Vedanta Sutra is stated, Atato Brahma Jigyasa. This means that Brahman, Paramatma or Parabrahman, should be understood. In Srimad Bhagavatam, also the Absolute is described as one without a second, but he is realized in three features, impersonal Brahman, localized Paramatma, and the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is the ultimate issue, and in this verse Lord Shiva confirms that ultimately the Absolute Truth is the person. He clearly says, Tattvam Brahma Param Jyotir Akasham Iva Vishtritam. There is a common example. A successful businessman may have many factories and offices, and everything rests on his order. If someone says that the entire business rests on such and such a person, it does not mean that the person is bearing all the factories and offices on his head, right? You know, only who was the guy? Atlas does that, right? That everybody else is through their potencies, right? He has to do it himself, right? You know, I mean, it's great. We're happy that he's doing the job, right? You know, like that. Rather, it is understood that by his brain or his energetic expansion, the business is running without interruption. Similarly, it is the brain and energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead that carry on the complete manifestation of the material and spiritual worlds. The philosophy of monism, explained here very clearly, adjusts itself to the fact that the supreme source of all energy is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. This is described very clearly. It is also stated how the impersonal feature of Krishna can be understood. Rasoham apsu kaunteya prabhasmi shashi suryayo pranavas sarvavedeshu shabda ke paurusham mrishu. O son of Kunti, Arjuna, I am the taste of water, the light of the sun and moon, the syllable om in the Vedic mantras. I am the sound in ether and ability in man. Bhagavad Gita 7:8. In this way, Krishna can be understood as the mystic power in everything. Right, so these are what, when we hear these things that don't match with other things we sing, this is then what it's meaning. It's just taking that point. Krishna is in everything. It's all him, but at the same time, he is the person. That's where it's different. At the same time, through his impersonal feature, he is everything, literally. Right? But it's just a matter of the pious things, you're dealing with the front of the Lord, the impious, you're dealing with the back. Right? Does that make sense? So all those qualities will be there and everything. Does that make sense? Right? Because it's not that the Brahman effulgence only coming from the front. Kind of a 360 degree. If it's spherical, then what, do they give a number to it? Or they don't bother? They just say spherical. Because it's 360 in any direction, so.
They add an angle.
They add an angle.
Another coordinate they add.
No, but I'm saying when you describe, like you say 360 degrees, yeah. But when it's in all directions as a sphere, is that how they refer to it when they're dealing in physics? No idea. They don't have some funny little thing that they
360 do. 360 times 360 degrees.
Yeah, yeah. That'd be 360. Okay.
So Maharaj, if the solution is to connect to Krishna to any side,
from any side, from any angle, no. Like this. But
even in past activity to connect to Krishna.
Yes, but we're approaching it because of its hearing from the Parampara. You know, we can't not hear from the Parampara and expect it's going to work out.
Yes.
You know? Yes. So we're always seeing it in that context, and then it works very, very nicely.
Yes.
But anything, that's the point, any connection will make the whole system work. And then as you go, you naturally move forward. You don't stick to the previous one, as it mentioned.
Yes.
How will there be progress if you put your front foot forward and it's solid if you don't pick up the back foot?
Yes.
You know, you're not making progress. You know, you make progress because you do move forward. But the system is given there only when you're situated in the new position do you give up the old one. It's not that I'm in my present one and the new one is better, so I get rid of this and then I strive for that. No, I strive for that while being in this position. You know, otherwise, then, you know, it's always a popular thing is that you have something go wrong in management, so you get rid of everything in the management. Then you think about replacing it. Right? Yeah, so it doesn't necessarily work. So the Vedic system is whatever position you're in. Let's say one's in anartha nivritti. So then one's engaging, you know, the anartas in Krishna's service. But then when we come to the platform, you know, and we strive for being fixed, being nishta. So when we become fixed, then we give up those processes of anartha nivritti that aren't actually valuable in our, you know, in the pure devotional service. So if we were doing some material activity, I mean some activities based on desire that aren't actually necessary, that were purified, those are given up. You know, but during anartha nivritti, even if they're not so valuable, they're still engaged. Does that make sense? Yeah.
So Maharaj, without the paramparas, we can say some people can try to work connected to Krishna and after stopping and all these things, so there is more or less no chance.
No, there's other than serving Krishna, you know, in the parampara, following the, you know, the footsteps of the acharyas, there is no system to get out of the material world. All these other things, as Krishna says it's all him anyway. He also then creates all these or gives rise to all these philosophies that people want to get into. And this way then argue with each other and try to establish who's right and who's wrong and all that kind of stuff. But in actuality, you can't understand what's beyond the material except through the parampara. Because when people say, no, I can understand, they're talking about the material intelligence and the material platform.
Yes.
But how is that logical when you're discussing something spiritual, so it's not of this world? How can you understand it? You know? It'd just be like saying, I'm stuck inside a box. By contemplating and using all the elements within the box, I can figure out what's going on outside the box. You know what I'm saying? So that's the problem. It doesn't make sense. But because of false ego, then we apply. We push the issue. Because right? As we saw before, is that the whole point with the Brahman is that the mundane, the happiness and distress are based on the mind, and that we have the mind is going after material happiness is because of false ego. So when we identify on that platform of false ego, I'm the controller and enjoyer, then the mind, you know, then the mind starts its activities, right? And we're absorbed in the material. But if we identify as servant of Krishna, then the material mind doesn't function. So that's what it means by controlling the mind. You're absorbed in Krishna, the mind's already controlled. It's just connected to Krishna. But if we're absorbed in the external energy, then the mind's not connected to Krishna. Sutta 235. The Sutrakar refutes the previous Purvapaksha Sutra in the following words. Pratigya hanir avyatire kach chabdebhya. Pratigya, statement of intent. A ahanihi, non-abandonment. Avyatire kat, because of non-difference. Shabdebhya, from the statements of scripture. Ether is produced from Brahman, for the promise made at the beginning of the passage is fulfilled if everything is non-different from Brahman, and thus everything comes from Brahman, including ether. And other statements in the same Upanishad state this. Sutra Prakashika. The Sutrakar, quoting from Chandogya Upanishad, disproves the opponents on the basis that only Brahman existed before creation. Accepting this scriptural conclusion implies ether never existed but came into existence at a point on the time scale. Because the same Upanishad, Chandogya will say, in the beginning was only Brahman. It was not something else. Sri Govindabhasya, Siddhanta. Preceding this passage, the promise, Pratigya, is made in the Chandogya Upanishad 6.1.3. To teach that by which what is not heard becomes heard, etc. This promise is fulfilled, Ahanihi. If Brahman alone is everything, Avya Tide Kat. If everything were not Brahman, knowing Brahman would not produce knowledge of everything. Right? So the whole point is, if you know Brahman, you know everything. That's because Brahman is everything.
Yes.
Otherwise, why would it? Brahman being non-different from everything means that when Brahman is clearly an ingredient of what... Brahman being non-different from everything means that then Brahman is clearly an ingredient of which everything is made. Thus, by knowing one thing, all things are known. Accepting that Brahman is the cause of everything, one must accept that ether is created. It is also known because of other statements in the same Upanishad, Shabdebhya. O gentle one, in the beginning only Sat existed. It was one without a second, and one with everything. Chandogya Upanishad 6.2.1. One should accept from such statements that before creation there is one Brahman, and after creation there is oneness of Brahman with everything described. Right, so everything's coming from Brahman, but Brahman is in everything. You know, so you have both these aspects. Bhagavatam verse reference. Srimad Bhagavatam 4.24.63. My dear Lord, you are the only Supreme Person, the cause of all causes. Before the creation of this material world, your material energy remains in a dormant condition. When your material energy is agitated, the three qualities, namely goodness, passion, and ignorance, act. And as a result, the total material energy, egotism, ether, air, fire, water, earth, and all the various demigods and saintly persons become manifest. Thus the material world is created. So we see here egotism becomes manifested, not that it's not there unmanifested. Right? The Karana Sharir may not be manifested, it has to manifest. Something so? Because there's the aspect of avidya is there, ignorance or false ego is there before, but then it has a point when it appears. Because it's the principle that one doesn't see things connected to Krishna. So that means then you have a false identity.
Yes.
But then it manifests as a specific false identity.
Yes.
That's right? When you act on it.
Yeah, you know, like when you're the guy driving the delivery truck or something. You know. Srila Prabhupada comments, if the whole creation is one, that is, nothing but the Supreme Lord or Vishnu, then why do the expert transcendentalists make such categories as are found in the above verse? Why do learned and expert scholars distinguish between matter and spirit? In answer to these questions, Lord Shiva says that spirit and matter are not creations of various philosophers, but are manifested by Lord Vishnu, as described in this verse. Tvam eka adhya purusha. Spiritual and material categories are made possible by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But actually, there are no such distinctions for the living entities who are eternally engaged in the service of the Lord. Because they just say it all as energy of the Lord. And the point is it's always engaged in the energy of the Lord, is always engaged in the Lord's service. So doing that they're always engaging the Lord's energy in his service, then they're working under the internal potency. because that's the potency that always engages the energy in the Lord's service. But if they don't see it in connection with Krishna and try to engage it, then we're working with the external potency.
Yes.
Right? So then for us, we see two because of the two different kinds of consciousness.
Yes.
For those on the transcendental platform, they don't see the material energy as separate from Krishna. They can understand it's inferior, but it's not separate. Right? Some sense, yeah.
At that level, the devotee don't have any, can say, fragrance of material desire.
No, there's nothing.
It's 100%.
It's 100%. Because that's the point. Until it comes to 100%, then you can't take part directly in the Lord's pastimes. You'll be associating with those who are in the pastimes. But that's the point when you can actually be directly involved. Because then there's because the fragrance then is not good, you know, like that, you know. So it's like, let's say your best friend has been, you know, cleaning out the, you know, the garbage dumpster and all that. He is your best friend, but until he takes a bath, then you know.
It is more than a fragrance.
Yeah, you understand. So that's the point, is that the material fragrance doesn't have any interest for those in the spiritual world. But due to compassion, they'll take big part and help you get to that point.
Yes.
So it is the natural point for the living entity, so that's why it's not, it's something that all living entities can do, right? It's their nature.
Yes.
So it's just a matter of being very clear what's matter and what's spirit. Right? So connected to Krishna, that's spirit. Not connected to Krishna, even though it is Krishna, that's matter. So,
Gita, Krishna is telling, these are my eight separated energies, spiritual energies. So what is that separation?
So you're wondering about sambhog and separation and all that. So now, what about those qualities if they're in Purushottam Kshetra? So then, are you with them but simultaneously not? Or separated means that you have a manifestation that you see as different. Right? Huh? It expands, so it's separated. Because it appears it can function different than him, but it doesn't. But we see it like that. So.
Separate from him as a person, it is manifested.
Even separate from Brahman, those who are impersonalists, do they think the material world is Brahman?
No.
So it's only the Vaishnavas understand the material world is Brahman. That. So that's the thing. The devotees can understand all the aspects of Krishna, all three features, while impersonalists only partially understand one. There is only a material world for those who want to imitate the Lord and become enjoyers. Indeed, the material world is nothing but forgetfulness of the original Supreme Personality of Godhead, the creator of everything. The distinction between matter and spirit is created by the sleeping energy of the Lord. When the Lord wants to give some facility to those living entities who want to imitate the Lord in his enjoyment. Right, so he wants to give the facility, that's why it's there. Right? By any other definition, why would there be creation, Pradhan or Brahman or anything? Why would you do that? What's the purpose? So as Krishna is wanting to give an opportunity to those living entities that are copying him, you know, they can have a chance. But then the point is they have a chance to do that, but come back to Godhead. Right? The idea is if they go after what they're doing, then, you know, that's, you're fulfilling the desire, but the material nature is such that unless you connect to Krishna, you won't be satisfied, because you are soul, you're not the material energy.
It's like a transit place.
It's
supposed to be only on transit.
Yes, transit. Yeah, you're not supposed to stay. Like that. For instance, sometimes children want to imitate their mother and cook in the kitchen. And at such a time, the mother supplies them with some toys so that the children may imitate her cooking, right? So they get, you know, one of the old pots or a spoon or, you know, at least nothing too valuable. You know, it's put there, they sit on the floor and they do this, that, and get some old peels and stick it in the pot. And, you know, it's all happening like that. Yes. Similarly, when some of the living entities want to imitate the activities of the Lord, this material cosmic manifestation is created for them by the Lord. The material creation is therefore caused by the Lord through his material energy. It is by the glance of the Lord that the material energy is activated. At that time, the three material qualities are set into motion, and the material energy is manifested first in the form of the Mahatattva, then egotism, then ether, then air, fire, water, and earth. Because like, without the egotism, then unless you identify with it, how will the creation continue? Not that we're doing it; it just means to take part in it. We have to. That egotism has to be there.
It doesn't identify with itself.
Yeah. No. It's not. It's not. Yeah.
Huh? Yeah. So it's combined egotism, can we say?
Combined.
Like they say,
well, because you have the egotism in the three forms, according to the three modes.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Remember when we say that the glance was the combined ego which went into it, all the jivas?
Yes, yes, but it also means that then you have it, that egotism in the three modes. So one will be intelligence, one will be the mind and the emotions, and one will be the gross bodily identification.
Yeah. No, I meant like the not the primordial, but the element before it gets into these categories. Or it's always categorized like this when it's material.
Yes, yes, like that. Because the other is that you're looking at avidya, so it's actually it's a potency of the Lord. So the potency itself is not in Maya, but the living entity who comes under that, then they're actually on the material platform. Because the process of has happened. You don't need a material body to be in material consciousness.
Yes.
It's that as soon as you don't see it connected to Krishna, that means your identity is different. That identity then creates that particular aspect of the mind. The mind functions in that way according now to the modes of nature. Does that make sense? Yeah, so that's the problem that comes up, is why, you know, it's not, you know, supposed to be an important discussion on how the jiva gets here. Other than this, they want to imitate the Lord and become enjoyers. Because all the technical stuff won't be really understood. So the main point is, you remember Krishna, you go back to Godhead, you don't, you stay here. That's what works. All these other technical points they're not the essential elements.
Yeah. Is it that when we say about ego and mind, you know, and it is because of the false identity that, you know, the mind is not being controlled. So, it's more working on the part of the ego, you know, than on the mind. It should be like that.
Which is?
Working on the false ego part, you should work on
it. Means if you work on the false ego, that will then, you're using intelligence to focus on that, so that controls the mind. Mm-hmm. But the point is, all these aspects are there. It just brings this out because that's the basis. So wherever you can use the start, that's where you start from.
Okay. Okay. Because many times people are not even aware of the ego, they're just aware of the presence of the mind, you know.
Yes, but you have to know what is the identity, because they identify with the mind, so how will they know, how will they be able to see that? Okay. In the Chatur Shloki of Srimad Bhagavatam, the Lord says, Aham eva sam eva gre. I was existing in the beginning before the creation. Srimad Bhagavatam 2.9.33. In the Vedas, it is also said, Eko Narayana Asita. Before the creation, there was only Narayana. This is also confirmed by Shankaracharya. Narayana Paro Vyaktat. Narayana is transcendental to the creation. Gita. That's in Gita Bhasya? Or is Gita Bhasya the next one?
No, it's Gita Bhasya.
Huh?
It's Gita Bhasya.
So then you put the period on the other side of Gita Bhasya.
Okay, Maharaj.
You know? Yes, it means outside of the quote, but inside the period. Since all the activities of Narayana are spiritual, when Narayana said, let there be creation, that creation was all spiritual. The quote-unquote material only exists for those who have forgotten that Narayana is the original cause. So that's how it's material. For everyone else, it's spiritual. Just not as great a spiritual place. Just means the facility. But absorbed in Krishna, and that is exactly the same. It's just that the bodies that you work with aren't quite as great. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Pringana ki.